Thank you so much. Thank you. That's beautiful. So ever since I became a rabbi, I've taught religious school. The classes, what we did varied. When I was the senior rabbi in New York with a huge staff and 1,000 households, I got to pick. I picked nursery school. Nursery story time was mine. Also seventh grade. And in 2004, when I was in Chester, Connecticut, it's a small congregation. We had 14 kids in the seventh grade, and I was the Hebrew teacher during the week. And, everybody sort of had their role in the class. There was Steve, who loved his video games. There was Tiffany, who was our soccer star, always at soccer practice. There was Lauren, and she sat across from me at the table, and it seemed like every week Lauren would spill the juice. It's okay. We'll just clean it up. You don't have to get mad. And then there was Aaron. Aaron was the clown. He loved to make everybody laugh, not making fun of the teacher, but that's who he was. And I had an especially great time with him. One day towards the end of the year, I got a call from Aaron's mom. He had gotten in trouble in school for bullying, and she asked if I could speak with him. Now, that surprised me, because sometimes Aaron could get carried away with a joke, but he had a good heart. So we sat together and I said, "Aaron, what happened? Bullying, that's not like you." After a few moments, Aaron looked at me and he said, "This kid is really annoying. He was following me and I wanted him to leave me and my friends alone. Yes, I did it." It's like George Washington. He didn't equivocate, he didn't find fault. He'd apologized to the boy, was honest with me. I smiled and we began to talk. And we tried to strategize together about what could we do that he could separate himself from the boy and not get in trouble. 12 years later, I still have the card that Aaron wrote to me at the end of the year. It's an amazing, amazing person. But to varying degrees, many of us have Aaron's experience. Ideally, we don't bully others. But we encounter people that we may find difficult. And difficult people is the theme of this week's Torah portion. So we're beginning the story of Joseph way, way back many centuries ago. And Donny Osmond played the... No, I'm not going to go there. So the portion opens with Jacob favoring Joseph and giving him the coat of many colors. And we then learn how Joseph would bring back bad reports about his brothers when they were tending the sheep. Now, on the surface, it seems like Joseph is doing the right thing. His brothers are in some way misbehaving. He's bringing back bad reports. But Jewish tradition takes the exact opposite view. Jewish tradition says Joseph was in the wrong. Rabbi Shlomo Yitzhaki Rashi, the 11th century, said, the Midrash explains that Joseph misinterpreted his brother's actions, and they were innocent all along. A little later on in Jewish history, Rabbi Yudalo of Prague, the Maharel, he expands the idea. He says, although Joseph was sincere in the evaluation, he was at fault because he should have given his brothers the benefit of the doubt and reported all of the facts to Jacob without giving the negative conclusions. Yes, in essence, Joseph was that child who loved to get everybody else in trouble. So how do we respond to people that we find difficult? I've chosen those words very carefully. Not difficult people, but people, focusing on people, and that we find difficult. We frame the dynamic based on our experiences and look at the actions and avoid universal assumptions. So in the first century before the Common Era, Hillel was the greatest leader of that generation. And there's a whole genre of Hillel stories. And in every one of them, it seemed like people would ask Hillel almost like a question that they tried to get him angry. His foil Shammai always got angry. But Hillel always had this rejoinder to the person. The stories I love to tell is actually two men made a bet. One bet the other, and he said, I bet you 400 zuzim that I can get Hillel angry. And so what does he do on Friday as Hillel is preparing for Shabbat and going to the baths? Bangs on his door. And in this time, this was a very insulting question. He said, why are Babylonians' heads square? Well, it's an insulting question because Hillel grew up in Babylon. So he's saying, you know, you and your people, they're not quite that nice. But Hillel responded. He talked about the midwives and their level of skill. But he didn't get angry. Another question. And finally, the person realized that he couldn't get Hillel angry. And he said to Hillel, he was enraged, he said, there shouldn't be any more like you in Israel. I lost 400 zuzim. And Hillel said, it would be better that you lose an additional 400 zuzim than I lose my temper and get angry with you. So the thing is, like, Hillel was the George Washington, that paradigm of his era. And these things with each of his responses to people, he's finding a way to say, let me help you move a little beyond what you're thinking. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to get angry with you. The text in the Talmud says, be soft as a willow, not hard like a cedar. So in the 12th century, yes, I'm taking you through a tour of Jewish history. Maimonides and the law is repentance. Now, this is real easy. When one person wrongs another, the latter shouldn't remain silent and hate them. Rather, he's commanded to make known, why did you do this to me? What happened here? But going on in a wonderful text, the Book of Knowledge, this is really amazing, and I'll give you the interpretation of it. If he accepts rebuke, it is good. If not, he should rebuke him a second and a third time. Indeed, one is obligated to rebuke a colleague who does wrong until the latter strikes him and tells him, I will not listen. Now, that's pretty serious stuff. But, you know, I had read it and I sort of like figured, it's historical in its context until it happened to me. So one place I worked, we had a staff member that loved to send nasty emails to people. And after each time that this happened, I would sit down and say, you know, maybe a nasty email is not the best idea. And we'd sit down and we'd talk, And then finally, I got the nasty emails. And it was, what's my obligation? And then I remembered this teaching by Maimonides. Literally, she didn't hit me, but metaphorically. And so I had to say to myself, at what point do I stop? And do I, you know, send it off to somebody else who's going to have to deal with it in a different way? But that was the teaching of Maimonides, that there are boundaries, but we have an obligation. Now, this last text, it's in your service folders. I like it so much. Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav, David, this one's for you. And David and I share a love of Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav. You have to judge every person generously, even if you have reason to think the person is completely wicked, and it's your job to look hard and seek out some bit of goodness, someplace in that person where he is not evil. When you find that bit of goodness and judge the person that way, you really may raise him up to goodness. Treating people this way allows them to be restored to come to teshuvah. By looking for that little bit, the place, however small, within them where there is no sin, and everyone, after all, has such a place, and by telling them, showing them that that's who they are, we can help them change their lives. You know, in our world today where there's so much like, this person did wrong, that person did wrong, these are the Jewish values that we bring into the world. And Rabbi Nachman says a person's completely wicked. I would not want to be that presumptuous. But you know, this is something that happened, and it's only actually happened once in over 30 years. It was in one congregation, a Torah study group, and there was a woman who participated that just continued to get everybody else in the group angry at her. You know, there was a whole lot of family history and stuff, but she had this, like, she could talk and talk and talk, and you know how sometimes, like, the moderator will sort of cue a person, maybe it's somebody else's turn? Just couldn't do it. And actually, people threatened to leave the group. And the cantor and I began to sit down with her, we began to talk, we began to establish a relationship. And over time, we figured out ways for her to participate in the group. She's incredibly bright, incredibly knowledgeable. And she returned, after having been there many years, to really be a loved and valued member of the group. And I knew that we had really achieved something when the people who wanted to leave became her biggest fans. But it's seeing that it's possible, just a little bit at a time, to help people who are having difficulties change and become part of the world. And these are our values. I think, you know, what's my habit of mind? How do I try to look at the world? I ask, where am I in this story? What am I feeling, and how much of this is my response to a situation? What's the spark of goodness in a person? And as Joseph is going to find at the end when he reunites with his brothers and he says, it's God who sent me here, not you, Joseph changed. He saw a bigger picture. How could I see something in a new light with new information that might help me see things in a completely different way? Returning to Hillel, his adage was, be like the disciples of Aaron, loving peace and pursuing peace. He wouldn't get angry at others. Loving people as the guide for life. In this way, we bring them close to Torah. Shabbat Shalom.